Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome back to the second part of this incredible episode of Queer I Am, the podcast, live and unscripted. The conversation continues and we also have an audience Q&A. I hope you enjoy. So whatever you're up to, this is your time to settle down, relax and enjoy the podcast. Welcome to Queer I Am. Welcome back, everyone. So thank you all very much for participating in the first part of the conversation around queer shame. I very much enjoyed the conversation. So we're now going to move on to an audience Q&A. So does everyone have any questions they would like to ask our panel? Darren, what a surprise. Oh, lovely. We'll pass that around. Thank you. Is that working? Oh, Thanks, Darren.
Well, as I was so ill last time I came and couldn't actually manage to make it to the Q&A, I thought I'd better step up to the plate. My question is, at the beginning you started with a definition of shame versus guilt. And my question is, where do you think internal homophobia fits into those two words? And the reason I say that is because I think that using I Kissed a Boy, for example, as a gay man myself who grew up in the early 80s, I am absolutely gobsmacked by how proud and confident those guys seem to be. And so, you know, if there is shame, or is there guilt, or is it internalized homophobia?
Who wants to take that?
I think, internalised homophobia, it's about shame, I think. And often, every time I've experienced it, because I have, I think my journey, as I kind of alluded to earlier, has been to accept camp. I was always slightly... certainly in myself, very kind of cautious about anything that could be construed as being camp. And I think internalized homophobia is about when you see behavior in other people, often it's that you would like, you envy. I think it's envy, actually, a lot of the time. It's kind of, when you see someone, we often shame people for, we slut shame people. And I think often the people that are most prone to slut shaming others, it's because they wish they could be like that. In my experience, of slut-shaming people and of being slut-shamed. I think it just goes back to, society drills into us this idea that what we are is wrong. And I think often internalized homophobia is when you see other people who have conquered that, perhaps in a way that you envy, this is obviously subconscious, I think, but you see people behave in a way that you might want to, And rather than embrace them and go, teach me how to be like that, or I'll take that as an example of what I could be or what I could do, or how I could live, you instead go, no, that's they're just wrong, and you perpetuate the cycle of shame.
But do you think that's quite prevalent in most aspects, not just queer life, that's general stuff, isn't it? It's like when we have really harsh, or we feel like we need to comment on people a lot and things, is that because there's something that we are feeling internally which is lacking? Do we wish we could be more than, or?
Yeah, I think often it is. Yeah. I wish I could get away with those clothes. I wish I could, have the confidence to whatever it might be, but it weirdly comes out as a kind of negative emotion or way of looking at it. And I think it's a really, I see it all the time, and it's really depressing.
It takes energy, doesn't it? I mean, I've definitely done that in the past. I think, when I felt that I wasn't as what I could be, maybe judgment would come through, or I'd be overly commenting on someone, and then you realise actually that's because something's kind of lacking here, and it takes a lot of your own energy, and you could spend that using that to develop or to grow as a person rather than worrying about everyone else. I think that's... I think what's really interesting is that we talked about the guilt and the shame as well, and obviously I want everyone to have a comment on this as well, but I wonder as well, does the guilt element come from expectation? So we have like our internalized shame around maybe internalized homophobia or, because of what we've been taught. But does then the guilt element come from, if it is there, I've let people down, or people think differently of me, or I've not met the expectations that maybe have been set for me. So therefore you have the pressure of other people's expectations on your shoulders. So you also feel the shame, but you also feel the guilt because you feel less than you has been expected. I mean, I definitely felt that throughout my life at times. So I don't know whether any of you would agree.
Yeah, I feel that. And the guilt you were talking about, or at least what I heard when you said guilt, was how I crucify myself for having thoughts on people, really. So what I'm trying to say is that I can't help but look at people, and there are always thoughts, there's this always constant chatter going on in my mind. And I used to make myself really guilty about it. But until I listened to this podcast by this psychologist who was saying, well, the first thought you have in your mind, that is a reflex, so you can't really do anything about it. What you can control is the second thought and the third. So now that's what I'm trying to do. I'm really trying to focus on the thoughts after the bitchy one, really. So, and then I think, okay, you know what? I know better. Let me treat them like I want to be treated. And
also, I think it's about treating yourself well, isn't it? Because, again, if you're then judging yourself, and we all do this, you're then giving yourself more of a hard time than you probably even have given to that person by a thought they don't even know about.
Yeah.
It was just in your
this
head.
It's all going on in our heads.
Yeah, it's not internal dialogue, in unconscious bias. We all have those thoughts. We
exactly.
can't control what pops in our head.
Yeah.
But then we then damage ourselves by being some unkind, and you probably wouldn't treat that other person like that.
And I also believe that if I can see it in someone else, it's because it's in me. Yeah. So that always sort of diffuses all the bitchiness. Yeah.
Absolutely. Any other comments on the question? No?
I don't think I have anything to add. No, I think I agree that it's a product of shame, and it's you shame yourself and you internalize that, and that's where internalized homophobia so often comes from. Yeah.
Absolutely. Any other questions? Michael, have you got the mic there? Nick, can you pass that across to Michael? Thank you for your question, Darren, by the way, as well. I was joking when I said, what a surprise. It's lovely to have you contribute.
Well,
perhaps I wasn't totally clear. What I sort of meant was, I think that I've probably felt guilt, I don't think I've felt shamed that much, but the question was really about, if you don't feel shame, is that an internal homophobia? You don't recognise it, you know? I think shame seems to be like an outside sort of thing. That was all.
That's an interesting question. I don't know the answer, but I guess if you don't feel that, does that mean that you're not holding on to it? That's what I would think.
Isn't not feeling any shame a little bit? It sounds a little bit psychosis, like you're a psycho. there are some things it's important to sort of think
about. I mean, about a particular thing. If you see something and you don't feel ashamed, is it because you're more comfortable with that element of yourself?
But I guess that's what we were talking about when you were saying sort of guilt, when you feel like you've let someone down, you know? And while we were talking about earlier with shame, where it comes from an external source, where it's like everyone else is telling you should feel ashamed of a certain thing, and you don't internalize that, but what you do is you feel guilty about, am I letting everyone down? Is everyone disappointed in me? Oh, my mom and dad are going to... And you feel guilty that you've let someone down. And so it's one of those things where it's like, when you were talking about the difference between the two, it's really interesting, because I feel like sometimes they're so interwoven, because people are like guilting you to be ashamed, but you feel like it's very confusing and messy.
Yeah, I think absolutely. It's confusing and messy. Yeah. I mean, I'm just thinking, you know, if I go out and I have a bit too much to drink, the next day I wake up and I feel really guilty, but I'm not actually feeling guilt. I don't think it's actual guilt.
Fear.
Yeah, I think what I'm actually feeling is I'm feeling shame that I'm telling myself, oh my God, am I really that person who has to be pissed in order to enjoy themselves? And I feel ashamed of myself. It's not guilt, because I didn't do anything, as far as I know.
People have that sort of like shame hangover, right?
Yeah. But it is all, it's all kind of a mess of kind of intertwined, interconnected.
Well, alcohol is the worst for your mind, not great, spiraling, and the booze blues, and
it's
next day.
It's fun at the time, though.
It's fun at the time, but but I'm the same. I kind of think, you know, what happened last night? And, oh, did I really say that?
Then, I'll say that flippantly, but I mean, you know, you could go deeper and say, do I feel, you know, is it true that I can't go to DILF, say, without being drunk because I'm slightly ashamed? And I'm not saying I don't know. I still carry that shame of, like, you know, being in that very queer space and expressing that side of my personality. Is it that I just need to be a bit drunk before I can conquer the shame to do it? I don't think so.
It's like the angel devil, isn't it? It's like freedom of wanting to do it, but then actually the hang up of whether you should.
Yeah. Because, you know, consciously I'm not ashamed.
No.
But it's so deep that it's maybe there. I am. Yeah.
It's interesting. Thank you, Darren. Does that answer your question?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Michael.
Hello. Oh, is this on? Am I on?
Yeah.
Do I need to
eat it?
Eat it.
Oh, it's a Michael Jackson reference. Eat it instead of beat it.
It's not really a question, but I wanted to pick up on something you mentioned earlier, Steve, about shame and living outside of the homo or the queer normative. Like, it's not really a question, but I think it's an interesting one to pick up, because it wasn't really discussed. So I just kind of wanted to hear people's thoughts about kind of the shaming that goes on if you don't exist within a homo normative kind of lifestyle or person.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I still do a reasonably good job of shaming myself, but I'm also pretty good at telling myself off and not do it, which is, you know, again, it's like this, as you say, a devil on one shoulder and an angel on the other. But the time when I do very definitely experience shame from outside is when people tell me I ought to, you know, why do you not want a monogamous relationship? You know, why are you interested in a throuple? Why are you interested in polyamory? Why, you know, and the whole kink shaming as well. I think that's something that we still, it feels... I mean, this is perhaps a slightly different topic, but it feels like in a rush to be accepted by the wider straight community, we've kind of settled for being assimilated. And I think that's a shame. I mean, I was at a wedding of two of my friends at the weekend, and it was a really great, lovely experience. And they were both men. But actually, that shouldn't be the be-all and end-all of what, you know, we haven't... We should be about more than that, I think. We should be sort of not ashamed to express our desires and to, within reason, obviously, consent and age being, you know, amongst them, but obviously... But we should be looking to broaden the conversation, I think. And I think it's when I try and do that, that's when I experience shame externally.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I was going to just say, like, I feel like it's really common for queer people because they're already disrupting a narrative of, like, what you need to be, this heteronormative narrative. That
my mic wasn't actually on.
We're so often just already disrupting this narrative of what it means to grow up in this heteronormative society that we're more often likely to start disrupting other narratives. So you're more likely to start going, well, why do you need to be with one person forever and you can't have sex with anyone else? Why can't I be with multiple people? Why can't I be open? Why do I have to have sex in missionary all the time? Like, you know, you start questioning why things are set up in this way. And society doesn't like that because it's very comfortable with the structures it's set up. And that's why it's so often trying to shame us, because they're so worried. It has a whole gay panic of we're going to destroy society. And it's like, some things need to be destroyed. Let's burn it all down, maybe. It'll be cute, you know? It's some people do settle for assimilation. And ultimately, I think it's a personal choice. Some people do actually genuinely want that. Some people do want marriage and kids and all that. But some people are doing it because they're told they have to. And I think that may be less common in queerness because people are often thinking about stuff more.
Well, I think, absolutely right. Because we've had to rethink everything that society told us about ourselves, we then rethink everything.
Yeah.
I know. And so I think that's quite an exciting... I don't want to come across as someone who's like anti-monogamy.
No.
It's just another option.
Yeah.
You know, and
it's about having those conversations.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Thinking about it.
Do you think that people who are not in the queer community that are in monogamous relationships, do you think that they desire something else, but just don't talk about it as freely.
Definitely.
Because I've had lots of conversations with friends where they're like, oh, he's lovely, or yeah, you know, whatever else. But actually, whether they would actually go through with it, I don't know. But I wonder, again, because of the whole society and how things are built, is that something that that community maybe is bursting to explore? But then, and then you have things like people have affairs, or there's lots of divorce rates and stuff. Is that because they're not really owning that?
Yeah, I mean,
stuff?
Let's be facing, yeah. not many people manage monogamy.
No.
It's just whether you're open about it and go into a relationship going, I don't think we're going to be monogamous, or whether you go, okay, let's be being monogamous. It's just that I happen to be.
Yeah.
You know. I don't know. I think
it's like I think what I'm referring to is the shame that you're talking about in terms of you want to do that. My goodness, why wouldn't you be monogamous?
Mm.
But really, like we said about seeing things in other people that actually you desire yourself. So the easiest thing to do is to shame someone. If people had the opportunity and the chance, would they just love who they wanted to love and enjoy sex and not worry about all of those labels and restrictions?
I think a lot of people keep themselves in a box, either consciously or subconsciously. I think I see that a lot with bi-ness. There are way more bi people in society than any statistic will ever show you, even census data will show you. Because there are so many people who are not admitting even a latent, somewhat attraction to genders other than the one that society tells them they have to be interested in. There's more attraction out there. And you only really realize that when you start having those conversations. Because I'm very open about it, and sometimes I'll be around people and they'll say something and I'm like, that's not a straight thing to say. And they're like, well, you know, and I'm like, I see it. But they're never going to do anything because ultimately it's not normalized enough. It's not accepted enough. And so they keep themselves in a box. Sometimes that's consciously. Sometimes they're like, well, I'm aware that I have these other attractions, but ultimately I'm not going to act on it because I'm more interested in this and I'm going to do this. Mm. And I kind of want this life. But also, how much are they wanting that life because they're told to have that life? And how much are they wanting that life because they actually want that life?
Yeah.
And some people are doing it consciously. Some people are going, I have thought about all of this and that's what I want. Some people are subconsciously going, I need to stay in this box because I fear what would happen if I break out of it.
Stay in the lane.
And they don't know that. They don't know that. But internally, there's something going, oh, no, what will people think? And they're internally shaming themselves. Some people are consciously shaming themselves and going, no, I don't want to break out of it because I know what I'm going to experience if I say I'm queer.
It's basically, you know, a box is both restrictive, but it's also protective.
Yes, so exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. We all desire safety, don't we? This is the thing safety needs. Does that answer your question, Michael? Thank you. Any other questions from our vast audience? John. Okay.
We get a comment.
Please do.
You sounded surprised then, like, John, you don't normally have
John.
A question.
This is my first time here, but thanks for having me.
Is it on?
Oh, can you hear me through it?
Yeah, I am deaf in one ear, so it's probably why I can't hear you. Sorry.
I've kind of been having multiple thoughts throughout this talk, and I'm going to try and put it into something that makes sense. So just towards the end of the first half, Pierre touched upon putting his own satisfaction around his work first and primarily, regardless of what anyone else thinks. Steve, you also at one point said that you mentioned allowing ourselves to be shamed as opposed to, do you know what I mean? So it's, I guess what I'm coming to is that we all care far too much about what other people think. And for me in my own life, this is the biggest thing is learning or trying not to care what people think. And that actually there are as many ways to be on this planet as there are people. You know, so any religion or any political idea which is saying we've figured out the best way to be, and if you conform to these rules then you are a good person, you know, it's it, if you subscribe to that, ultimately it's taking away from your own path, and that we all have our own guidance system, you know, and our emotions tell us whether we're on that path or we're not. If you don't feel good, you're probably veering off it. I think this whole discussion is really kind of like affirming that idea for me, that we just need to not judge anyone else. It's about allowing everyone else to be who they are and to have their opinions as well. And in doing so, allowing ourselves to be who we are. And we're not saying it's easy, and I'm not saying I've mastered it either, because I care far too much what other people think. But when you start to kind of get a glimpse of that, it's a really bright, light feeling, and it's like this, do you know what I mean? It's very alluring, and it's like, yeah, let's go over there.
Yeah, I agree. I think also what I take from what you've just said as well is, and what we all have to do, all of us, is be kind to ourselves. Like, even if we have those moments where we feel shame, or we feel shame from others, or we're struggling, just what can we do in that moment just to give ourselves a break? Because I think, regardless of how we identify, in what community, we are just so hot on ourselves as human beings, I think, aren't we? I think that's just a standard narrative that probably so many people have. So how can we just be a bit kinder to ourselves? And maybe when we cultivate that, we then have more empathy for others as well. And
yeah, totally. And just to add to that as well, I think, excuse me, I think this idea of offence, you know, it almost feels like people in the world today are sort of almost looking for reasons to be offended. And that, you know, someone might hurl abuse at somebody, but it doesn't have any effect unless the recipient takes that as offence. So anyone trying to inflict a feeling of shame on someone else, it's powerless unless the recipient takes it as shame. You know what I mean? There's so much power in actually just water off a duck's back. I know it sounds almost overly simplistic perhaps, but like it's only the resistance to that force, that oncoming force, that gives it any power. You know, if it's just allowed to just wash over you, then there's no power in it.
I think on a personal level that works, but I think what we've got at the moment is the structure is working against us is the problem. And so it's one thing for someone to say the F word as you're walking past them in the street holding hands with your boyfriend. It's another thing for there to be 10 million articles in The Guardian of all places saying that trans people essentially need to get gone. So that kind of depends. But on your other point, I think what I always find really interesting is the... What I learned when I was trying to show better love for myself, which is so difficult, is people will sometimes look at you and give you that look where they basically think that you're selfish. Because when you put yourself first, when you know who you are and go, I am willing to do that, I'm not willing to do that, they think you're selfish because you're going, well, what about what everyone else wants? What about? And it's like, but I don't want to do that. And I know I'm not going to like that. And sometimes you can be giving. Sometimes you can go, well, you know, I'm not going to hate that enough to not want to do it. And if you want to do it, I want to spend time with you, whatever. But sometimes it's like, no, I do not like that. I'm not willing to do this. I'm not willing to spend money on that. People don't like it when you put up boundaries. They don't like it when you do all of that stuff. And a lot of that comes from self-love, right? When you start knowing who you are, when you really start examining yourself, and then you start trying to find love for yourself, you then start doing things like creating boundaries and stating what you want from not the relationships in terms of just like romantic ones, but relationships in general, right? What you are willing to take and tolerate from friendships, from relationships, from family relationships. And a lot of people don't like that. And it's because you're willing to show love for yourself and not be shamed for acting a certain way. People go, well, why aren't you willing to do that? And they start trying to make you feel bad. But calling someone selfish, you're so often trying to shame them to do what you want them to do. Sometimes people are just selfish. It's not just clear cut. But
it's a balance. But I agree with you. You have to have your own back, and you have to say yes when you mean yes and no when you mean no, and not compromise yourself. And I think that maybe that comes with time and growth and wisdom, and I don't know, we're all figuring it out, aren't we? But I think it's much easier.
It's about putting the work in, having these thoughts and these conversations and actually being prepared to self-analyse rather than, you know, and I think you're absolutely right. And I think the people who struggle with, when you have boundaries, the people who struggle with that are the people who don't have boundaries.
Yeah.
And who find those like, well, I, you know, because it's very discomforting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the perfect way to end the podcast. So a bit of self-love, I think, is really important. So can I have a massive round of applause for all my guests? So Pia Monneville, Vineet Mehta, and Steve Watson. I said Steve, not SJ. And thank you all so much for coming. It's been absolutely amazing. I've really enjoyed it. So thank you. I really hope you enjoyed the show. A big thank you once again to all my guests. Please share the podcast, give it a 5-star review if you'd like, and leave any comments you may have. You can also follow me on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok for all the latest updates on Queer I Am, the podcast. Also, check out my website, www.fluiactually.com. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.